When you come into the church, you'll see right in the entranceway, there's a picture there. It's Rembrandt's picture, his rendering of the parable of the prodigal son, and it's gorgeous. And we preached on it multiple times here, and it's just a really neat picture. Well, Rembrandt obviously did other pictures as well, and this is one of them. And it's a rendering of today's gospel story. And I think it's gorgeous. When I read the gospel story, I often think of this happening in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. But when Rembrandt thought about it, I'll use my little laser pointer here. This is a rock here on this corner. So it's near the shore, or there's some little, anyway, dangerous rock here that's of concern to the disciples in this boat, and you'll see that the rigging is torn, and there's loose ropes here that obviously have some concern to the people who are battling this storm. Now, how many disciples are there? Simple question. 12. Yes. Okay. So counting Jesus, that means there should be 13 in the boat. Okay, we're going to do this. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, someone throwing up over the side. There's one right here, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, yes. There are actually 14 people in the boat. Uh-huh. Interesting, what? Well, as it turns out, if you look at self-portraits of Rembrandt, this is him. He's painted himself into the picture. Isn't that intriguing? And he's telling us something about that. By painting himself into the picture, he's inviting every one of us to paint ourselves into this picture. Which leads us to an examination of this story. You'll know from previous weeks that I've been asking you at the end of a sermon to think about a particular question, something to leave with. Well, I'm going to start with a question today. Remembering that we all have moments when life is really, really hard. There are times when just surviving we're hanging on by the skin of our teeth. As you reflect on the storms that you've experienced in your life, where did your strength to go on come from? That's the question I'm asking you to ponder today. Where did you sense your strength coming from? Now, I'd like you to use your imagination just a bit today. I want you to imagine that we are all gathered together in a home in Gennesaret. Now, Gennesaret is a town on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. And I'm also asking you to imagine that the year is 66 AD. It is the Christian Sabbath. It's not the Jewish Sabbath. It's the Christian Sabbath. It's a Sunday, which, like today, is a celebration of the resurrection. That's why we have services on a Sunday. And it's very early in the morning. That's when the first Christian assemblies would meet, early in the morning, because, of course, Sunday was a work day. And so if they were going to worship and celebrate the resurrection, they needed to do it before they went to work. So imagine it's early, early on a Sunday morning, rather like when the resurrection happened. Today, we have a special visitor with us. And Mark, we are just delighted to have you here. On behalf of all of us here at the church, we'd like to welcome you to our meeting this morning. It's an honor to have you. We'd heard you were coming, but to actually have you with us is just tremendous. And I need to say, on behalf of all of us, we're delighted at this project of yours. An actual written record of the story of Jesus. What a creative idea. How come no one had thought of that before? I mean, to have something that's written down, something that could be shared with everyone, perhaps even read out at meetings like we're holding this morning. I mean, maybe even a bit like the way we listen to the scriptures, if I might be so bold. But it's just a brilliant idea. And there's just so much to tell.
for those who haven't heard the stories, and certainly for the, many of the Gentiles in our church, well, this is just going to make things so much easier. And it's timely. Certainly timely for me. My memory's getting a bit hazy. So it would be good to have these things down on papyrus somewhere before I start to really muddle things up. Oh, I should say, I've been telling these stories for 30 years. I know them pretty well. Anyway, this project of yours, it's a wonderful idea. Pardon? Names? No, names. Oh, for the record, sure. There was Simon. He was also referred to as Peter. There was his brother Andrew. Like me, they were both from Bethsaida. I'm Philip. That's two L's. Two L's, yeah. No, I can live with the Greek. One L, but it's two. There was James and John. There were Zebedee's boys. They were called the Sons of Thunder, and I can tell you that's a whole other story. There was Bartholomew. He's a good friend of mine. Matthew and Thomas. Alphaeus led, he was another James. Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean. And yeah, Judas. You need to include Judas. He was part of the story. He played a role. But it's a sad part of the story. I got to see a few things over the years traveling with Jesus. In some ways, I'm still traveling with Jesus, I guess. But I got to be around for some remarkable, remarkable events. They were just amazing. Where'd you like me to start? Yeah, maybe you'd like to hear from some of the others here as well. Oh, that's very kind of you to say that. But really, being one of the 12 was the most peculiar and particular honor. And honestly, we were not an especially impressive bunch. Why he chose any of us, let alone me, it's still a puzzle to me. I don't really understand. We kept letting him down. We kept misunderstanding what he said. It was really hard to keep up. Embarrassing to say this, but nothing seemed to go the way we expected. And the things he told us were often the complete opposite of the way we thought things should be. And so we got confused. I know I did. But since you kindly asked, I will begin the storytelling this morning. Where would you like me to begin? How about when I introduced Nathanael to Jesus? That was good. Nathanael is also the other name for Bartholomew, by the way. How about the last time we had supper with him? That was important. There was that wedding at Cana. Oh, that was a barn burner. If you like a good glass of wine. Oh, yeah. So many stories. So many stories. I don't think you're going to be able to collect them all. Do try. Would you like the stories in order? I find it's a bit hard to keep the chronology right over the years. They get a bit confused, but No. We'll trust you to put them in some coherent way. Good. Okay. Where to begin? How about with something we were talking about here on the last Sabbath? The big storm on Galilee. Oh, that was unbelievable. There were a number of us here who were gathered there on that day. Some of these other folks here this morning, they were in some other boats also in the storm. So, like, feel free to fill in any of the parts of the story I miss. It may have been a bit different from your boat. I think it was pretty early on in our mission around Galilee. But even then, it seems like we'd done so much. Every day was filled with encounters and teachings and healings and exorcisms. There was something new all the time. And Jesus, he kept up this really exhausting pace. Everything was now, hurry up, immediately. You might want to record that. Immediately, yeah. We would have some downtime, of course. He made sure we took Sabbath time, but it seemed like there was so much to do. It was a grueling pace we kept up. I do remember this moment quite clearly, though. It was by the sea. It was by Galilee. Jesus had been doing some teaching, yeah. Well, yeah, it was in parables. He loved to teach in parables. When he would teach in parables, I always remember a couple of things that would happen. First, you could hear the crowds laugh just about every time, because there was usually some twist in the story and made it kind of funny. And then there would be a long silence afterwards as it kind of sunk in. The other thing is I remember that sometimes they were just hard to hear. In my case, it wasn't until afterwards that they really started to make sense to me. Often Jesus would have to explain it to us. He would get the 12 and some of the women together, and he would have to sit down and explain them. But it's interesting, you know, even today I still think of them, and I find something new. Strange how it works, eh? Anyway, he'd spent the day right there by Galilee. He'd been teaching up a storm. Okay, I'm a bit ahead of myself here. The storm came later. He'd had this long day of teaching. And he'd actually gotten in a boat just offshore so he could teach all the crowds. But he'd come to the end of the day. It was evening. And we were all tired. And he said, let's go to the other side. And so that meant we were going to be heading to Gentile country, which I remember struck me as a bit odd. We hadn't then figured out that the good news was for non-Jews, just that. But he was the rabbi, and so we left the crowd on shore, and we got into the boat, and it was just Jesus and the 12 in the boat, but actually there were other boats there. There were some other boats. Some of you were in some of those other boats going out on Galilee that evening. Anyway, we were making our way out into the water when suddenly a storm came up. It just came out of nowhere, which probably shouldn't surprise us. It's not an unheard of event in Galilee. It's well known for its storms, even to today. It is not a body of water for the casual sailor. When the wind gets up, you've got to be careful. But a good number of us, of course, were actually pretty decent sailors. Some of the lads, they were fishermen, and they knew their way around Galilee, but this storm, oh, it was a monster, I tell you. A really bad one. The waves were breaking over the gunwales, and we just couldn't bail fast enough, and we were taking on water, taking it on a pretty good rate, and frankly, we were pretty scared. I remember turning around and seeing Jesus, and are you ready for this? He was asleep. He's there asleep in the stern of the boat. He's got his head on one of the cushions there on the seats, and he's like sawing logs. I couldn't believe it. I mean, he's the one who asked us to go out on this trip. He's responsible for us being there. It was his idea. It wasn't ours. And now we're facing a watery death. In some ways, I suspect that was maybe the first time that we could really see that this discipleship thing is a high-risk venture. And following Jesus takes you to some really crazy places. And there's certainly places that we wouldn't be going on our own. I mean, seriously, Galilee at night? What were we thinking? Staring death in the face. And we're thinking, like, Jesus, this is all your fault. Why are you taking us to dangerous places? I mean, I wouldn't be here if you hadn't brought me here. And to make matters worse, of course, he's got his head on the cushions and he's sleeping like a baby. I mean, it's like he's just where he's supposed to be. So, some of the lads, the ones who weren't throwing up over the side, you might not want to record that. Okay, thanks. But a couple of them stagger over to Jesus, and they have to shake him to wake him up. And I think it was Thaddeus. He yells above the wind, "Teacher, we're going to drown here. Don't you care that we're going to die?" And Jesus, he manages to get standing up in the boat, which was, believe me, it was no mean feat. It was really rocking. And he looks out onto the waves, and the waves are getting pretty big at this point, and he says to them, this is weird, he says, "Hush." Interesting, eh? Hush, be quiet. Be muzzled. And it's like he's the Lord of the storm. In moments, the wind quietens down to nothing. And a couple of minutes later, the waves have disappeared, and it's a dead calm. We're floating on perfectly flat sea. Nothing. There's not a ripple. It was really weird. And it was not weird in the kind of interesting way. It was weird in the scary way. It was really scary. I mean, I knew Jesus was special. I knew he was connected to God somehow, but this was something else. He didn't do the, you know, prayer, you know, God, calm this water down. No, he commanded the water. And we're all thinking the same thing, like, who on earth could do that? So we were kind of freaked out. And he looks at us. He looks around at all of us on the boat. And he says, so where's the spine, gang? Why are you so afraid? Don't you have faith yet? You know what the truth is, Mark? It was no. We really didn't have enough faith then. Not then. We were utterly terrified. I'm scared to death. First we were scared of the storm, and then we found ourselves scared of him. And we're all looking at each other. We're not sure what to think. And I remember hearing someone say, it was barely a whisper, but it was so silent out there on the sea. You could hear everything. It was like it was amplified. I heard someone say, I thought I knew him. But the sea and the wind, he's Lord over that. Who is he? It's a strange story. We pondered that here together a lot over the years. And I think we do that because we've experienced it here a lot over the years. It's the storms at sea or on land in our hearts. They just keep coming. And often they're storms we wouldn't even have if Jesus hadn't called us to follow him. It's just that discipleship, it takes us to dangerous places. It takes us to stormy places. But then again, he doesn't have us go alone. He always goes with us. And he never seems to get rattled. And even when we get rattled, when we question the whole exercise, we worry that we're going to lose it all, he just sticks with us. Who do I think he is? That really is the question, isn't it? I think I have a pretty good idea. But I'm not sure that it's one that I get to answer for you today. I think it helps to spend some boat time with him. I think I've got a little of that coming up. My sister Miriam and my old companion Bartholomew, we've been hearing a call to head up to Hierapolis. It's in Phrygia. What I think they call Turkey these days. I think we're being drawn up there to do some gospel work. Don't quite know the details yet, but we got this pull to go. And we know it's dangerous up there. We think it could be difficult. So Mark, would you mind praying for us? Because honestly, I'm a bit scared. But then he'll be with us. That'll be enough for me. Hey, before you go, do you want to hear the story about the pigs and the exorcism? It's a good one. Oh, amen.